Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I'm always happy to be here, but a little extra today. A little extra. Do I say that every day? It's because the flannel panel's here. We got the flannel panel for you today. If you don't know what the flannel panel is, what it is we invite Chris Check and Joe Heschmeyer to come on, and we all wear flannel shirts, and we talk about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. It's that simple. And yet, it's a lot of fun for me because I like hanging out with Chris and I like hanging out with Joe. Chris Check is, did I mention, president of Catholic Answers? So if it comes down to, like, it's a bitter dispute and somebody has to be right before we move on, Chris wins. All right? He's the president of Catholic Answers. Hello, Chris Check.
Cy, I'm so happy to have for you to have me back. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah.
I was thinking this flannel thing come August is going to be
That's so funny. I was thinking the same thing today because I think the reason that I was thinking of it, I put on my flannel shirt and outside
I'm
there's
sort of going a little California look with the white t-shirt underneath.
I do like it. Yeah.
But it's a crew neck.
Yeah. I got my Vans shirt on
kind of like Tom Cruise.
I got it covered because you're not.
Right, sort of like Tom Cruise.
Don't start with the Tom Cruise. Do not start with the Tom Cruise.
I kind of want to lead with that.
No, okay, we'll lead with it in a second. Okay. But the reason that I saw something so strange today, it felt utterly unfamiliar to me. I woke up and I looked out my window and there was this blue hue to the sky. Mm. It had a blue color.
Yeah,
do you remember
we
that?
We get that.
We used to have that in Southern California.
I am not complaining about all the rains, Cy.
Did that sound like a complaint? I guess I am complaining at this point.
There are people in this building who have...
Who complain about all the rain?
Who've been, yeah, and I scold them.
Well, we've sure needed it.
Amen.
By August, we probably will be uncomfortable in these flannel shirts.
It'll be good penance. It's better than a hair shirt.
Before we bring Joe Heschmeyer into the conversation,
okay.
I wanted to say thanks.
Can we just say, for the record, Joe's having problems because he's failing to operate his equipment correctly.
Well, no, we can't say that.
That's exactly what's happening.
We're pretending like we're just bringing him on a little later.
You get his equipment in gear. He's known about it all day long. I don't know. That's what the problem is, my friends. It has nothing to do with the editorial sequence that Cy is trying to set up here.
I'm going to say no. We cannot say that.
Okay.
Well, we're going to continue to pretend like we're just bringing Joe on a little
all
late.
Right. And then he's coming soon, Joe Heschmeyer.
I have a list here of the first two people.
Well, it's actually one of them's a couple, so it's three, right?
Oh, I didn't know that. Jen didn't. All she gave me was two names, Thomas and Joe. And she said to welcome Thomas and Joe to the flannel panel pilgrimage to Rome that will be happening starting on November 9th and on November 18th. And can't wait to meet you. Have you met them already? I don't know if I've
I know one of them. Okay. You can't say people's last names on the air without their permission.
No, you really shouldn't.
Okay, so one I have had a lengthy correspondence with.
But
off
after
and on.
You called out Joe Heschmeyer, you probably do
well,
anything.
Well, he is a celebrity.
He's a celebrity. You know, yes, he is.
Like Tom Cruise. I do know one of them. I may know the other one too.
You want to see the names?
Yeah, I do.
It's Joe and Thomas right there at the top. There could be millions of
for
people
sure.
Signed
I know
up.
One of them.
I don't know how many people have signed up. I know tons of people requested information, but I know that these were the first two, and they pretty much were tied, so I couldn't do it the first one. And we're delighted. Pilgrimage to Rome, November 9th through 18th. I'm going to go. Joe's going to go. Chris is going to go.
CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
Only 50 people are coming. Actually, now this means there's only 47 spots left.
47 spots left to come with us. We couldn't get a 60-seat bus because I know that's our thing is we're not doing more than one bus. We're all getting on a bus together, and we're not busing you in and out of the city either. We're staying in the city. The reason we get on the bus is to go out and see things, not to come into the city. You wake up in the morning when you're on pilgrimage with Chris Check, right in the heart of Rome, and that's actually quite important.
It is
makes
beautiful.
A huge difference.
We have a hotel that's very dear to me, and one I've stayed at a bunch of times. It's called the Hotel Forum, because it's actually quite close to the Forum. Uh-huh. It's a lovely hotel. And to this point, Cy, about the bus, it won't be every day. But there are some days where we need a bus, and as you say, it's to get to something outside the walls. Can I give one example?
Yeah, give an example.
I mean, everybody thinks of St. Paul outside the walls, and we will go there. But there's a church very, very few people go to, and we will go to on this trip. It's called St. Agnes outside the walls.
Oh, the great St. Agnes, the martyr of the early church.
And yes, and most of her is there. Her skull is in the city.
Really?
But the rest of her is outside the walls. And this is a very special place, my friends, because when Constantine begins his program of introducing Christianity to the Roman Empire, he's actually not heavy-handed about it. And he knows that he can't just start building Christian churches inside the Aurelian Wall.
Oh.
So he builds them outside the walls. So he's careful about his program. That's why, for example, Santa Croce in Jerusalem is and the Lateran, for example, and St. Peter's, of course. All these are outside of the walls.
That's so funny. You don't think of St. Peter's that way, but of course it is. Yeah. It's on the other side of the river, yeah. Outside the walls. Yeah.
So St. Agnes outside the walls has the foundation of one of the earliest Constantinian basilicas. It has the mausoleum of Constanza, his daughter, which has a magnificent mosaics in the ceiling. It has a catacombs, the catacombs of St. Agnes, where she's buried, which no one ever goes to, so they're never crowded, especially at the time of year that
we're going there?
Yep.
I didn't even know about this, Chris.
That's because last time we went, you went to the audience.
Oh, I went to the papal audience. Yeah. So this was for the refuseniks, the people who
didn't go.
Didn't want to go to the papal audience. Yeah.
So and then it has a beautiful Paleo-Christian church from 4th, 5th century. So there's four gems out there, but you need a bus to get out there. But no one ever goes. And you know what's special about this place also, in addition to things I just said? This is where the lambs are taken every year to be sheared by the nuns.
St. Agnes, that makes sense.
Agnello, right, Agnelli. And then that wool is woven into the pallium for new cardinals.
All right, I'll probably go there this time.
It is one of my favorite places in Rome.
Although we met some wonderful African nuns at the audience.
Of course.
And I learned something.
The nuns are the best thing about the audiences.
Well, I know one thing I learned is don't get between African nuns and the Pope, all right? That's not a good strategy.
Or Filipino nuns or Mexican nuns. Yeah, yeah. None of them.
Right. But I do have a picture of my wife, Missy, with the Pope.
Oh.
The Pope does not know she's in the picture because he's just going by in the Pope mobile behind her.
I see.
But he got in the picture with her.
Yeah.
He's like, what's that called when you get in a picture that you're not supposed to be in a... He's photobombing her. Yeah.
So we are going to do an episode of Flannel Panel from Rome. Do you
yes,
think
we
maybe
are.
We could get Pope Francis to join us?
The thing is,
if he wears a flannel shirt.
Normally, I would say no. There's no. Well, he wore that Balenciaga jacket, right?
Yeah.
No, wait, he didn't. That was AI that did that. But with most popes, you'd go, no, there's not a chance.
Well,
but
if he
wrote him a letter and said, "Well, you want to do Flannel Panel with us?" You never know with this pope.
He went on the Disney Channel.
Right.
So
yeah.
Why not Catholic Answers?
Well, I'm not going to insist that he wear flannel, however.
No,
if he'll
lie.
Do it,
normal.
I'm not going to insist that he wear flannel. You know what? I feel like the one thing we've shown is that we're going to do the news of the day, all right? So we'll get there. We do have Joe Heschmeyer with us. I think what we have clearly seen is that the Flannel Panel is maybe at its best when Joe is not here. I don't know. That might be the peak of the Flannel
Panel. I think
it's
going really smoothly right now.
And I know that you want to... I want to start with, because we do the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to have a lot of fun. You can call 888-318-7884. I don't remember all of the standards, but you can't be a capitalist, I don't think, and get through. You can't. Well, I don't know
you
what
can't.
Else.
You can't. Actually, there's just one.
Yeah. What's the standard?
You have to be. You have to agree with me.
Oh, on Tom Cruise.
On the Tom Cruise movie.
But look at, I got all these stories.
Which I think is nobody else in the world.
I got all these stories to cover today. Mm-hmm. And let me just tell you some of the things we're going to get into. Satan clubs in schools.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the rebuilding of the Notre Dame Cathedral. We're going to talk about a ton of things, but you insist that we start with conversation about Tom Cruise, has already gotten you in trouble before.
It has. And last December, when we did that year in review, Flannel Panel year in review, or best movies or whatever that was.
Yeah.
Everyone said the Tom Cruise movie was the best movie. And I said it was not a good movie.
But
And I had not seen it, but I just knew. That it was not good. But
I
now can
that.
I tell you?
No,
now,
I just would think you should do all your movie reviews without seeing the movie.
I think
that you could probably.
I think a lot of movie reviewers do that. But
you know, I used to do on my old radio show. That's what we used to do. Yeah. We used to do movie reviews where we would own, or did we do it here? No, it was on the old radio show where we would do movie reviews where all we would do is listen to the trailer, and then we would be like, yes or no or. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Now that it's free, Jackie and I watched it.
So was that? Does that mean there were commercials in it or no commercials? You got to watch it.
Oh, I don't know. Well, Amazon, so I guess it's not free or whatever. It was part of Prime.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So yeah.
Jeff Bezos paid for it.
Thank you, Jeff. And now you have changed your mind and you're coming here hat in hand to apologize for your insults of Mr. Cruz and his work.
I actually now have an inflated sense of my ability to evaluate movies without having seen them.
Because you really hated it?
It stinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had not seen it at the time either. I remember we got a thumbs up from one person in the booth who didn't like me naming her at the time.
If you disagree with me, come to the pilgrimage in Rome, CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com, and we can argue about it.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah,
we'll have a great time.
Just want to say it's a good way to judge books as well is by their covers.
Yes, there's
Joe Heschmeyer wearing.
I wanted to jump in on that.
Wait, what is he wearing? That's not even a flannel shirt. You're late. You can't operate the equipment, and you're not even wearing a flannel shirt.
His shirt is so good.
I have good shirts. I'm wearing a flannel shirt.
It is
because I follow the rules.
It's hot here. All of my flannels are like winter and fall, and it's like 80 degrees here. So
It's always 80 degrees here.
Let's
San Diego.
Not bring him to Rome. He's not even going to remember to bring a flannel shirt to Rome.
One.
He's not.
He went to Rome.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, now you're – Joe Heschmeyer, apologist here at Catholic Answers, author of wonderful books, including The Early Church Was the Catholic Church and A Man Named Joseph, Guardian for Our Times, and many others. Also, he's got a haircut today. He looks all tidied up. He looks like he might have bathed for this, but he's not wearing a flannel shirt. Welcome, Joe.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I was going to say, it was a special kind of purgatory where I could hear everything, but I couldn't be seen or heard.
That is purgatory. Yes. All right. Well, you did a little purgation here before departing this land, this mortal coil. But do you have any – for some reason, Chris wanted to go first to say that he said that the Tom Cruise movie Top Gun 2 – Maverick Goes to Space or whatever it was called. Maverick 3D. This time it's personal. He said on the air it was not a good movie and he had never seen it. And
I did see it, and I think it is a very good summer blockbuster. I think it is very close to like the platonic form of summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
And so if you like that, it does what's on the label. You know exactly what you're going to get when you get it. It's comfortably predictable. While still being really
jingoistic.
That jingoism worked really well during the Reagan administration.
But it doesn't anymore.
Well, it's striking, too, because one thing I noticed about it is they're planning on marketing this movie overseas. Because one of the major differences between a movie now and a movie in the Reagan administration is you're making a lot of your box office in China.
Right.
Oh,
and
sure.
So yeah. They're like up against some foreign power that may be vaguely Russia, but they can't actually say who it is.
They don't know who the bad guys are. Yeah.
This is my only complaint about the movie, that the first movie was a love story between Tom Cruise and Kelly McGillis. And where is she in the second movie? Because women are not allowed to age. Is this Tom Cruise clearly doesn't age. I don't know how he stays looking like he looks, but I mean, maybe he's aged
a little bit. Scientology.
Scientology.
The health benefits of Scientology. But okay, so Kelly McGillis got older, and so she's not good enough anymore.
I think that's maybe the most realistic part of the movie.
Is that she? Oh, that the guy didn't stick
Tom
with his
Cruise
wife.
Character doesn't marry the girl he falls for. It's like it not being a happily ever after ending is like easily the most realistic thing that happens.
Okay.
A short-lived military relationship that was founded on really shallow romance.
Right. Life is not fair to women. That's our
There's
movie.
There's like
Thank
four
you.
Women in between Kelly McGillis and like whoever his love interest was this time.
Right, but it would have been such an opportunity to go against the Hollywood stereotype that a woman is only valuable as long as she's, young and spry. And is spry an acceptable word that I can say on there? And
we're going to find out.
And but what a beautiful statement it would have been, even if like she was only in the movie like a little Val Kilmer shot, But okay, so women age. They're still that doesn't deprive them of value. It adds to the. Can you say the word patina on the air? I don't know.
Yes.
I'm not sure if it's the right word to use, but You do know what I'm saying? Like, it just seems...
I do. I thought it was really nice that they had Val Kilmer, who's clearly, like, not what he used to be.
Oh, see, now, yeah. I reacted badly.
He thought that was exploiting Val Kilmer.
I did, too.
I don't say I did, too. I'm saying you thought
no,
that...
No, I did feel that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did feel that way.
I was happy to see Val Kilmer. Yeah. I like Val Kilmer.
I do too.
But I like.
That was the best movie in years.
All right, we're gonna take a break. We'll be right back. I don't know why we started with Tom Cruise. We're not starting everyone with you complaining about Tom Cruise. All right.
It doesn't have to be everyone.
Okay. All right. We'll take a break in May from talking about Tom Cruise. Right back to talk about Satan clubs in elementary schools and why we should have them, at least according to some libertarians. Right back after this.
Hang on. Catholic Answers Live will return in a moment.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Are you ready to spread your wings? Wings is the weekly newsletter that's packed with exclusive news, program information, features, and updates of all that's going on at the Global Catholic Network. To sign up, go to EWTN.com, click subscribe, enter your name and email address, and you'll start getting your wings every week. Get your wings today. It's the weekly newsletter from EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Enough with the Tom Cruise. Let's talk about Satan. And is that a bad segue? Joe Heschmeyer here. Joe, apologist here at Catholic Answers. Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. And okay, so the Satan people who, by the way, one of the focus episodes I'm very proud of is when I interviewed Carlo about Satanism. And I thought he was just as... it was just super professional and charitable and of seeking understanding, not just seeking to throw shade. And we talked about ways we disagree with Satanists and all that. But we got so much feedback from Satanists that they couldn't believe that Christians would take them seriously and actually try to engage them on the intellectual level, not just the emotional level. And I said, I don't care what you think. You're Satanist.
I'm surprised that there were that many Satanists watching the episode.
Well, I think maybe because the headline had Satanism in it, that we drew some Satanists.
It gets some traffic on social media after the show.
And then there were the typical people who just insult us. Oh, Christians are so dumb; they can't understand Satanism or something.
I'm sure that
Christians do that to Satanists on their websites, although I don't spend a lot of time on their websites. But anyway, having done that, I am proud that we did that. I still don't think Satanists should have after-school clubs in American public schools. And I apparently am in the minority on that because I'm reading in Reason magazine, which is a well-known magazine of libertarian thought, that this is consistent with the American tradition, where different ideas get to compete, and we should the way to answer this kind of satanic club is to start your own club that competes with the satanic club. I find that mode of thinking trivial and obnoxious and untrue. And children are not a playground for the idiotic ideas. And I'm not saying Satanism is an idiotic idea. I'm saying it's a deadly idea and you should stay away from it. And I say that with respect. I don't want to be disrespectful to Satanists. It's bad. And children should not be exposed to it in after school activities. Do you guys want to challenge me on that? Have I come?
No, I want to underscore that because I think people are going to say, well, how can you say there should not be a Satanist club if you're okay with there being a Catholic club or a Protestant club or what, you know, what's the difference?
That's the argument they make in Reason magazine, Joe. Right. Exactly.
I mean, there's, I think, an easy answer to that. And it doesn't have to be from a specifically Christian perspective. Aristotle in Nicomachean Ethics says, pleasure causes us to do base actions and pain causes us to abstain from doing noble actions. Hence the importance, as Plato points out, of having been definitely trained from childhood to like and dislike the proper things. This is what good education means. And so the principle of education is to teach kids to love what they should love and to hate what they should hate. And that is a very different model of education than a lot of people imagine. It's not just, we're going to teach you some facts about math or history. It's actually, we're going to impart a series of values to you. Now, those values might include cheating is bad, academic excellence is good, but they're also going to include some other things. And so to the extent that Satanism is a repudiation of those good things, then yeah, it has no place in education. In the same way that if there was like an arsonist guild that said, we want to get together to talk about the best ways to burn down the school.
Do it safely.
Do it safely.
Safely, so that the only people killed are unborn children. But I appreciate what you say, Joe, but you're listing a series of goods that left off God. And I don't think as Christians we should give up the idea that God is good and should not be mocked or insulted in the public sphere. And that America, to the degree that it has made itself defenseless against these things, is ruining its children. And maybe we should rethink that.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I'm starting with Aristotle for the simple reason that to hear a bunch of Christians say, hey, we should not tolerate atheist clubs in an elementary school, is going to sound to a certain portion of the population as if we're just saying like, hey, we shouldn't make room for Hindus or Jews or Buddhists or whoever, and we're just going to impose our religion on the schools. You know, the reason the Catholic school system exists in America is because the public schools were teaching Protestant doctrine and they were using Protestant Bibles in the curriculum. And Catholics said, we don't want you raising our kids as Protestants. And so we're going to build our own school system. And so we've seen it kind of abused to say, you know, there's no tolerance for someone in good conscience trying to figure out the right answer. But in this case, there's not a legitimate good that I see to be pursued by having a Satanist group. It's one thing to say someone is authentically seeking the truth and maybe they're erroneous on some points and the purpose of an after-school club is not the same as a church. I understand all that. But again, there is a limit to that. When someone isn't acting in good faith, when it is mockery or destructive, you don't need to let a hate group have an after-school group. You don't need to let an arsonist group.
Right.
And Satanists, almost definitionally, are a hate group.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to say, I want to pursue the good, and I have a misunderstanding about what the true good is. That's most of us. That's maybe all of us. It's another thing to say, I want to spite the good because it feels good to spite the good. And we don't have to condone that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Those are two different things.
I actually don't know if a Satan club meets the world's definition of hate group.
But that's
what Joe is saying here, but not so far as the world is concerned.
No, look, certainly not.
Reason magazine has been for decades the kind of the flagship monthly of libertarian thought in America. There's a range of thought among libertarians. It would surprise me if Tom Woods, for example, who's a Catholic libertarian, or Jeff Tucker would say, okay, I'm in favor of Satan clubs. Although they might find themselves backed into that corner. And to me, this is the problem, well, with libertarianism, for one, because the arbiter of everything is the individual.
Right.
But I think for Christians, this is very instructive because it shows the limits of the religious liberty argument. Religious liberty is not an end. It's a means, and it's a means in the understanding of the church. Why? So that people be brought to the fullness of revelation and understand and know and come to love Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of religious liberty. It doesn't function well in the idiom in which we are forced to live right now, where religion is kind of something that you do privately, and then the moment it enters the secular realm, well, that's politics, or that's economics, or that's your work life, or something like that. So as long as religion is kind of confined to, or confined to what you do on Sunday, or your private set of beliefs, that sort of thing, you're not causing harm to anyone, and it's not evident. I mean, it's evident to me, but it isn't necessarily evident to people. Oh, well, Satan Club, they really just encourage free thought or whatever, right?
I'm sure many people would say
that. And
what's
wrong with that? Okay. So my point here is that Christians need to realize that appealing to religious liberty as an end ends up with Satan clubs after school.
Fair enough. There's much more to say on this. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. We'll be right back, and we'll continue with our conversation about Satan in the schools on Catholic Answers Live. Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God. And it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity. In the early church was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you have an important prayer need?
We'll pray with you tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations. And now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I found out at the break that I was unjust to Joe, that there's a reason why he was struggling to be on the show with us today, and we'll get to that in a minute.
We call that an excuse.
Yeah, but he had a good excuse. It's a good excuse. And I do want to finish with Satan before we do that. And here's – okay, so I want to give you – I want to bottom line it for you from my bottom line and then get a reaction from both of you. It seems to me that we have this internet which – is poisoning the minds of children. I'm completely disinterested, prescinding, as they say, from the question of adults or adolescents, but children. You know, children are 8 years old when they're discovering pornography. And I don't know anybody who thinks that's good. The society, however, has made itself utterly defenseless. There's no serious effort to address that in any way. It's entirely treated as the parents' problem. And it's not just, of course, it's not just the parents' problem. You know, when there's shooting in the streets, that's not just a parent's problem. When there's pornography easily available to children, it's a societal problem. But society is defenseless against these things because society has decided that you can't say no to adults. You can't say to an adult, no, you can't do that. And, or if you're going to do that, it needs to be walled off in a separate area that children cannot access, which is the way I would. If I were the king of the forest, I would I mean, I'd say, look, I don't know the technical problems that would have to be solved to do this, but here's the deal. If you want pornography on the internet, it has to be walled off where children can't get at it. You solve the technical problem. I'm just making a rule, okay? It's because the society cannot be defenseless.
Hard to solve, actually.
We cannot have a defenseless society because you will destroy the lives of children, and the destroyed lives of children will be manifest in the end of your society. So, among these things is teaching children that it's okay to mock God. No, it is not okay to mock God. You don't have to go to church on Sunday. I mean, you do, you should, but I think we've made ourselves defenseless because there's nothing in the way that we've set up our society, including our Constitution, that allows us to say no to adults. No, you can't go to the public school and do this and talk about Satanism with children. Sorry, no. When they're adults, we're not going to protect them from you. But for now, they are protected from you. Pornographers, Satanists, all the I'd put a whole bunch of people in that boat. Yes, we have to defend our children from you.
There are things you can't do. There are things that we say to adults, no, you can't do.
Yeah, but you can't have a pedophile club
Try lighting up a cigarette in polite company.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's right. It's a weird – yeah. Imagine if you had a cigarette club for kids. Well, we don't smoke cigarettes. We just talk about cigarettes. They'd say, no, you can't do that. And the difference being what? What is the difference? One of them will harm the child's lungs, the other their soul.
You know, I think if you want to get to the heart of what the difference is, there is a broad secular morality that doesn't recognize itself or admit to being a moral code.
There it is, Joe. Right.
Like there is a liberal Puritanism.
It is the religion.
A 20-ounce Coke is immoral.
Right.
But because they just say, oh, no, it's not that it's immoral. It's just that it's against public health. And it's like, well, what do you think of all of these other things? You know, like pornography is against public health.
Yeah, everything is everybody has a religion.
Right. But I think that it's very important what Joe did to point out this one is a hidden religion. It's not admitted that the religion of America and maybe much of the rest of the world now, too, I don't know, is a religion of moralism that's entirely sentimental. It's based on how I feel about things. It's not based on reasoning through.
Well, and it has nothing to do with the redemptive act of the second person, the Blessed Trinity.
Right.
Yes. And right. And it's, you know, there's just like there's food and ethnic food. It's like, well, no, this isn't an ethnic food. It's like, no, it still is. It's just an ethnicity
that's big
enough. That
a hamburger is an ethnic food.
Right. Yeah, every food is an ethnic food.
It's not
ethnos creates it and popularizes it.
Right, it's just that it's our group, so
and
we
so
don't recognize
like this with
it.
Morality.
Right.
Like the dominant liberal culture does not admit that its own moral code is a moral code.
Right.
It's like there's neutral value judgments, and then there's everybody else's morality. And they're like, we don't want you to impose morality. We just want to impose these neutral value judgments that happen to be our exact moral code.
Right. And so what do you think of this sentence? This is how they the writer kind of sums up the argument. A defense of American pluralism requires a defense of, or at least apathy toward, Satanism.
See, this is going to sound strange. I tend to be sympathetic to that argument. I think it's I think it's a logical argument.
Right. That's probably correct. But then,
I mean,
but doesn't follow
I don't
up
want to
with
be
the question.
Near this person.
No, but it doesn't follow up with the next logical question. What is wrong with American pluralism?
Right.
Then? Because you're probably right. That is what American pluralism requires. Yeah, why does it require that?
Or is American pluralism, whatever that means, a good thing? Yeah.
That's what I think ultimately you get to that question.
Yeah, I think a form of American pluralism that leaves you apathetic to or committed to defending Satanism is not a principle worth defending.
No.
And so to the extent that they've basically done an argument to absurdity upon themselves, well, great, bravo.
No, pluralism is the end. It's the end. So it doesn't matter what the conflicting principles are.
And here I want to contrast this with what Vatican II says on religious liberty, because I think there's a really important difference. Because the Second Vatican Council is sometimes attacked for endorsing a form of religious liberty or a form of freedom of conscience. But it's really clear that it understands freedom of conscience as a means to an end. I'm just going to quote. On his part, man perceives and acknowledges the imperatives of the divine law through the mediation of conscience. In all his activity, a man is bound to follow his conscience in order that he may come to God, the end and purpose of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the basis upon which we say you can't interfere with the legitimate working of conscience. Because to follow conscience is trying to obey God.
Yeah, and that's a very constrained understanding. I mean, if your religion, however fervent you might be, involves biting the heads off of chickens, this is not going to lead you to second person blessed Trinity.
But the American conception, to me, the American conception of religious freedom is different from the Catholic understanding of religious freedom, in that the Catholic understanding of religious freedom says there is truth,
right,
towards which we are all supposed to be moving, and the American is like Pontius Pilate. What is truth?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's probably worth saying that I'm not convinced the modern version of pluralism is the version that the founders intended to endorse.
No, sure.
Well, that's much debated, however. I mean,
it is much debated, but yeah. My understanding, and you know, having gone to law school and having looked at some of this stuff, is that even atheism is a legitimate controversy. Because if you take the view, we don't want the religious wars we just had in Europe, and we know everyone has a duty to God that's higher than their duty to the state, then the state says, okay, we're going to prescind from the particular question of how to properly honor God for the sake of keeping the peace, and because we know you have a duty higher than to us. That explains why you would allow Catholicism, Protestantism, Judaism, and the like. It doesn't really explain why you would allow atheism as like something officially on the same level as religion. Because to say man has this higher set of duties to God, and therefore he has to follow them, well, it doesn't follow that you would then say this guy doesn't recognize any duties, so he's equally free to, you know, follow nothing or not follow God. I hope that makes sense. I'm not saying, you know, the state should compel atheists. I'm saying that there was in the 60s with the Warren Court a decisive reinterpretation of the First Amendment, in which you could no longer, you know, the Establishment Clause and the Free Exercise Clause was held to not only not allow you to establish a particular religion, but not even to favor religion over irreligion. And I don't think that second move, whether you think it's good or bad, I don't think that second move is actually what the founders intended.
I think that history, the evidence of history is that they certainly did not. I mean, individual colonies and then subsequent states had state religions.
Right.
They had state religions. The First Amendment, all that does is proscribe the establishment of a national religion.
I got to take a break. I'm very much enjoying this conversation. There are folks who want to get in on this conversation with us, so I want to go to the phone lines in a minute. Before I go to the break, I just want to say Carol is not on the line from Des Moines, Iowa, one of the nicest places in the world. She was listening on 1150 AM, Iowa Catholic Radio, and she just wanted us to know I don't know. Carol could be man or woman. I apologize for that. They asked Kelly McGillis to come back for Top Gun Maverick, but she didn't want to. She doesn't want anything to do with acting anymore. Sorry, Tom Cruise. Once again, I was unfair to you.
Hang on. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guests are Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers, and Joe Heschmeyer, apologist extraordinaire, who's also, I should say, and should have said earlier, is the proprietor of a podcast now. It used to be a blog, now a podcast called Shameless Popery. It's a wonderful podcast. I hope you'll be part of it, and you can find it at shamelessjoe.com. And it was actually work that he was doing for the podcast that made him embarrassingly, really humiliatingly late for the show today. Joe, why don't you tell us about that? Because now I feel bad that I gave you such a hard time.
I don't.
Yeah, no, I don't think you actually do feel that bad.
I pretend feel bad.
I was interviewing Archbishop Naumann. So Society 315 is the group of monthly Catholic Answers donors.
Keep us on the air.
And so we give a bunch of benefits to members of Society 315. And so one of the benefits, I got Archbishop Naumann to agree to do just kind of an ask me anything sit down. And I said, okay, send me your questions. And there were really 30 questions. And so I sent them to his office and said, what are your favorite questions among these? And they chose 10. And so then I sat down with him, and I think we got through 5 or 6 of those. I'd grouped a few of them together that were sort of thematically similar. So maybe like 8 people in all got their questions asked to the Archbishop. So it was actually a lot of fun. But it meant, because I was doing it over there at the Chancery, I had to deconstruct everything, which I had completely underestimated how much of a hassle that was going to be. And then I had to try to reconstruct everything. And the reconstruction is, we'll just say, an
partial
job. So yeah, it is a partial. So I was screwing the microphone in to where it is now, and I'm using the camera that's on my phone instead of the good camera, and like, oh, I've got one light working, and so all sorts of.
So when will the is that why you got your haircut? Because you're going over to see the Archbishop? Is that why you have
my haircut a few days ago?
Oh yeah, sure. So help me with something. Archbishop Naumann, my favorite bishop in the entire world, and I think you know why he's my favorite bishop in the entire world.
He's read your book.
No, no, then he would definitely he'd be my favorite bishop of all time. If that was the case. But Archbishop Naumann, is the Archbishop now or emeritus? I'm sorry that I don't remember.
He's the Archbishop now. He is the emeritus of the pro-life committee. So he was in charge of pro-life affairs. So he is no longer in charge of that, but he is still the Archbishop of KCK.
He is a very, very fine man.
He's the only bishop who's ever just on his own pick up the phone, called the show.
It's true.
While we were on the air and tell us what a good job we were doing.
Yeah.
So forever, he's my favorite bishop.
He spontaneously started talking about the good work of Catholic Answers.
So those 187 of you ordinaries who are listening right now, what's the phone number, Cy?
Any cardinals out there who don't know the number? 888-318-7884.
Don't worry.
Yeah, right. No, but okay. Let's go to Michael here in California watching on YouTube. Michael, you had a contribution you wanted to make.
Yes, hi. I would like to just make a quick comment on the Satan Club. So right now, the central banks have created their central bank digital currency. They're supposed to be taking over cash. So in the future, if you have a religious life and don't agree with, you know, Satan Club, and if you speak out about it, they might deduct or cancel your bank account. So what can we do to solve that issue? Maybe Catholic Answers can come up with a barter system application and connect Catholics to whatever goods and services they offer to offset that central bank digital currency risk of totalitarianism.
I don't know that we have a solution, but I do want to address what you said. I mean, if the government comes from my bank account, it will be a lot of red numbers that they can eliminate for me. So I don't really care about that. But I actually think your concern is well-based, Michael, in that technologies are allowing surveillance and monitoring and control that in the wrong hands are going to hurt a lot of people. That's certainly happening in China at this very moment. It seems in some ways to be happening here in the United States, but I don't think in a way that we could call a persecution, more in a way that we can just say, you know, because I know, for example, a wonderful group of people who defend the family, who Wells Fargo refused to process their payments one day. Wells Fargo just decided, no, we're not, because they weren't in favor of gay marriage. So those things happen, but I don't know that we have a solution. Maybe one of these two gentlemen has a solution, but I think it's actually quite reasonable of you to raise the alarm.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I would nuance it, if I may. And I think you kind of alluded to this implicitly with the Wells Fargo example. I think the persecution we're going to face or are facing isn't primarily from the government or from like public sector, because I think there's enough of an outrage that the same people who would say we need to protect even the Satanist club will also say we need to protect even the Catholics. So even if we disagree with the libertarians, they'll be on our side on this one, or you know, any number of people who might say, I'm fine with, you know, the gay marriage or whatever the social agenda is. I'm not fine with the government having this kind of authority. The danger is with these private sector companies that control huge aspects of daily life, where if you have the wrong thoughts, you can't be on Facebook or on YouTube. You can't receive money from PayPal or Venmo or GoFundMe. You can't have your bank process your, you know, in life can become pretty unbearable, pretty difficult, and it can be very difficult economically. But because it's all done through these private sector companies, the doctrinaire libertarians and everybody else are constrained to say, well, our principles actually are fine with that, as long as it's not the government doing it. And so I think recognizing that that is more likely the problem, that is currently more of the problem, it also creates more avenues for, well, what would alternatives be? And so one of those alternatives would be to create separate systems. Just as, you know, in the past, when Catholics realized that the public schools were not serving the interests of Catholic children, they created a whole system of private Catholic schools. Well, so too, it might be necessary to create things like banks that won't discriminate against you for being pro-life or for being pro-marriage or for whatever the, you know, and I think something like that is actually a viable business model that people actually get really tired of this. I don't know if we want to tread into the Bud Light controversy, but Bud Light kicked a hornet's nest on trans issues, and it's a largely conservative consumer base, and they've lost huge amounts of money. But additionally, Yuengling's, which is spreading and just got to Kansas City, thanks be to God, just creates like a pro-America Twitter post and just subtly it draws attention to, look, you can find companies that don't hate your values. And so if the problem is private sector companies that get really extreme and doctrinaire, I think the solution to that in part will be companies that just say, we're not necessarily going to be doctrinaire in the other direction. We're just not going to be psychos. We're not going to intentionally alienate and offend and mock our customers, which seems like a very low bar, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the we are in the we'll see stage, which I think is why their anxiety is high among many people.
I have to recognize Pope Francis here in Laudato Si. I think it's chapter 3, where he talks about the technocratic paradigm and its own ironclad logic and how we're all being forced to live within it right now. And as my colleagues here say, be creative in what you can do to drop out of it as much as possible.
Right, right. Eventually we're going to have to stop paying for it. You know, Michael's concern involved us here in the United States, but it really is horrifying that a group of people like the communist thugs who run I'm sorry, did I say communist thugs? I meant communist criminals who run China have the power to manipulate and control the lives of hundreds of millions of people. I mean, you can't and I know I heard this on one of the EWTN shows the other day, and it really struck me. You can't go to mass in China without having an app on your phone that tracks you, and you have to ask permission to go to mass every Sunday. And if the app says no, you can't go.
And this is foreseeable. Here I do take Pope Francis to task.
Oh, well, many people have criticized Pope Francis because of, I don't understand Chinese politics or any of that, but it does seem like he is in for some reasonable criticism there in China.
Yeah, Michael.
Yeah, I don't think the people who negotiated that deal understood Chinese politics either.
No.
Michael, I say that, and my spiritual director was one of the ones who did it.
Oh. Well, you're going to get extra penances. Next time,
Michael, I recommend the podcast Real Money to you that our friends at New Polity, Jacob Eamon and Mark Barnes.
I'm going to see if I can get one more caller on with us. It's the flannel panel. Joe Heschmeyer, Chris Check, our guests. We're all wearing flannel. You know, if you don't look at Joe, we're all wearing flannel. And we're talking about the news of the day from a Catholic perspective. I want to try to get Bryce from Utah on listening on Facebook. Bryce, you've been waiting a while. You wanted to get in on the conversation. Go ahead.
Hey, yeah. I read an article that said that for the coronation of King Charles III's getting crowned, the Pope Francis is giving them two relics from the True Cross. And I just found that wildly scandalous in the sense that I would love to see unity between our Protestant brethren and us, but, like, I don't know. Can't we send them one of those ugly nativity scenes that look like astronauts? Why does that have to be the true cross? That's crazy.
Wait, okay. You went a long way for a pretty good joke, but you went a long way for it. So, yeah, okay. So why does it scandalize you that the Pope would make give the King of England a gift of a relic of the true cross?
Oh, it just seems like it's like literally the definition of priceless. That belongs to the church. It belongs, like, I don't know. Like, it seems, I'm scandalized. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting.
Have you ever seen a relic of the true cross?
I know that they're probably small slivers, but those are precious slivers.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. Are either of you scandalized by this?
I'm not. Go ahead, Joe.
I was going to say, I was more scandalized by Anglicans being allowed to celebrate fake mass at St. John Lateran, the Pope's own cathedral.
I actually didn't hear about that, but that does scandalize me.
I didn't know about that, John.
I'm okay with the relics. And we gave a bunch of relics back to the Eastern Orthodox that had been borrowed by the Crusaders for a few hundred years.
It's a long-term lease.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, they didn't necessarily end up in Constantinople willingly from Greece. So, it was a gesture of goodwill.
We have not given back, like the bones of St. Mark, for example. I don't expect the people of Venice are going to be
happy. No, the Venetians they're barely part of Italy as it is. They'll just break off and do their own thing if we try to send back St. Mark's.
I like to think of it in these terms. The church is a mother. If she can make gestures that are motherly, in this way that don't obviously condone bad behavior or look the other way, but make a gesture of reconciliation. The church has done a great deal with the establishment of the pastoral provision, which blossomed into the ordinariate of the chair of Peter, so that Anglican priests, our own chaplain, former Anglican priest, Father Sam Keyes, and now the church has made that rite, which has doubtful origins, in the divorce of Henry VIII, part of its rites, and it's quite beautiful. So something like this is the church acting like a mother, and please God, good fruit will come of it.
Can one of you clarify for me the relics of the true cross? Is this the cross that was discovered by Helena, the mother of Constantine? Is that the idea?
Yes,
that's my understanding.
Yes,
and this was actually it's kind of charming to send a relic of the true cross, if for no other reason than that. One of the major controversies in Protestantism was over whether relics of the true cross were authentic. John Calvin famously said, if you put all the relics of the true cross together, you could build a ship. And it's not true, actually.
No, so, I don't even think it would amount to a cross.
Right, because the slivers are so small.
Yeah. Can I say, Si?
Yeah.
We will see substantial relics of the true cross, but other passion relics, nails, titulus, thorns from the crown of thorns at Santa Croce in Jerusalem.
And the steps, too.
At a different location, but on our Rome pilgrimage. But yes, also the steps from Pontius Pilate's house. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com.
I already got an ad in before the end of the hour. I don't think I felt as scandalized either, because I think acts done in charity, there's reason to hope that they will bear fruit. I think Jesus gave us reason to hope in that, and I think it's okay. And there are many relics of the true cross, and if you want to know about the finding of the true cross, you can read the novel Helena by Evelyn Waugh. Yeah, which he said was his favorite.
It's hilarious.
Novelists never know which novel of theirs is the best.
It is a delight.
Yeah, it is a delightful. And Helena was British.
Yeah.
So maybe that's got a connection to the monarch of the of Great Britain, as they call it nowadays.
Well, and there's that song that talks about how Jesus walked in Great Britain, in England.
Oh, yeah, that's some...
Did those feet
Blake.
In ancient times.
Right. What's that called? They sing that at the prom.
I know, it's big in weddings and stuff.
All right, we got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back. Got lots more important stories to talk. I'm going to share with you some audio on the reporting on the reconstruction of the cathedral at Notre Dame. Whole bunch of other stories. Joe will be back. Chris will be back. We'll all be back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.